You might want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. We'll look there briefly, then go to chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. As we look at the exceeding greatness of God's power, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being so powerful. But this morning we want to understand how that has to do with our lives. Teach us the effect you want to have in each of our lives as we seek to live them for you. Indeed, may your power rest upon us and impact us, so that we can be more faithful to you. So please guide us through this study, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. There are two reasons why somebody will not do something. One is they can't. They don't have the ability or the resources, they just can't. The other is they won't. They could, but they simply won't. You could ask me to bake a cake, but I can guarantee you I can't. I've never baked one. I could try, but I could not guarantee the outcome. But you could ask somebody else who is very skilled at baking cakes, and they might say, I won't. They certainly have the ability to do so, but for some reason they don't want to. God instructs us concerning things that we are supposed to do in our Christian lives. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25, he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth. In verse 26, he says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In verse 27, neither give place to the devil. In verse 28, steal no more. Rather, he says, you should labor, working with your hands. In verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Then in verse 30, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And verse 31, a whole list of things that we should eliminate from our lives: bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. We're to put them away from us. And verse 32, be kind one to another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another. What is our response to the Word of God? Well, we could try to say, I can't, but God would come right back and say, oh, yes, you can. So if you don't, it's simply because you won't. Well, let's look at why we can do all of these things and everything else God instructs us to do in the Word of God. Back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? The exceeding greatness of his power. The word exceeding in Bible language is a compound word consisting of the word beyond and the word to throw beyond. In other words, to exceed, to surpass, to be much more than. Greatness in Bible language, we're familiar with the word mega. Mega. Big, huge. And the word power comes from the word dynamite, explosive power. In other words, God's power is so far exceeds any other power, there is nothing to which you can compare it. I referred at the beginning of the service to this Psalm 89, verse 6. Perhaps you want to look at Psalm 89. And we'll look together at what it tells us about the greatness of God's power. Psalm 89, we begin in verse 6. Psalm 89, verse 6, "For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord?" God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is strong? Who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. For as for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Back in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, where it says, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe?" It says, "According to the working of his mighty power." The working, the energy, and mighty physical strength, power. This power is that energetically demonstrated, physical, visible, tangible demonstration of God's power. Let's look at a few examples. How about in creation? Genesis chapter 1. I know we're familiar with this, but I wanted to point one particular thing out to you. Three words repeated several times. Verse 3, "And God said." Verse 6, "And God said." Verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24. Each time, "And God said." And when God simply spoke something that did not previously exist, came into existence. Can you do that? Try it. Won't work. Only God has the ability to simply speak and bring something into existence. Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites were stuck between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now, the average or at the depth of the Red Sea is at least 1,000 feet. It just so happened that at the place where God parted the waters, there was a land bridge across, only 100 feet below the surface of the water. So that when the Israelites walked through, not in sandy or muddy soil, on dry ground, which is remarkable as well, they walked through 100-foot tall walls of water. Who can do that? Only God. And it was 8 miles across. How long would it take 600,000 men plus women and children to walk 8 miles and cross the Red Sea on dry land? He had to hold back those waters for a very long time. And God could do that. Joshua chapter 6. Beginning in verse 15, we're told about, well, actually, the event description begins earlier than that in the chapter, but the Israelites are marching around in Joshua chapter 6. They're marching around the city of Jericho, and we come to the seventh day. On the first, each of the 6 days preceding what we're going to read here, the Israelites marched around the city one time. The whole group just marched around one time and they stopped in silence. Imagine if you're stuck inside of a city and this massive army is marching around your city, not saying a word, just march around, then go back to their tents. And then on the seventh day, it says in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 6, it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. So still silent. The only sound is the high priest occasionally would blow a trumpet. It says in verse 16, it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And when they shouted, it says in the text, verse 20, that the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city. Now, there's something interesting about this. The city was about 10 acres in size, the size of about 9 football fields. The city was surrounded by a wall that was 13 feet high with 28-foot towers behind it. The wall was 5 to 6 feet thick, but it slanted inward. In other words, it was thicker at the bottom than it was at the top, and on the outside, it slanted inward. But when archaeologists found this wall, it had fallen outward. How does a wall that slanted inward fall outward? Simply because some Israelites shouted? No, God did that. And only God could. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 23, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a calm. You know, just like in creation, he spoke, and the wind stopped. Did you ever feel like you would wish you could do that when it gets real windy and branches are falling off your trees and the windows are kind of shimmering because of the strong wind? Don't you wish you could just speak and stop the wind? Well, God can do that. Verse 27, the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Imagine. Now he's walking on the Sea of Galilee. In this case, the Sea of Galilee is 140 feet deep. Too deep to put stones underneath of them to play a trick on people. Joseph Smith, who founded Mormonism, did that, actually. There was a shallow pond in Ohio where he had stones strategically placed under the surface of the water and would have his friends bring people from the town out to the crest of the hill at the dusk of the evening and watch him walk on water. It was a trick, but this is no trick. This is the mighty God doing only what he could do. And not only could he walk on water, he could make a man like Peter walk on water, which he did in the context. Pretty interesting. Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Here is this mighty God. And it tells us here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. God's power so far exceeds any other power, so that there is nothing that you can compare it to. The kind of power that God used in creation, in parting the sea, in knocking down the walls of Jericho, in calming the tempest, in walking on the sea, he used to raise Jesus from the dead. A miraculous power that makes it possible for God to override the laws of nature, which he wrote himself, to do the things that no man can do. Only God can do those things. But now, verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 1, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that ye may know. He wants you to know something. He wants you to know that this exceeding greatness of his power, he extends to usward who believe. The same power, he says, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, the same power God the Father used to raise Jesus from the dead, he extends to us. God wants us to know in our lives the same kind of power he used to raise Jesus from the dead. There is to be a real perception of God's power in our lives. There is to be evidence in our lives of God's amazing power that we can identify and be able to say, God did that. I've told you before about the time when my wife, we were students in Bible college, and we went to the shopping center, and it was icy and a wintry day, and we were entering the shopping center parking lot on a slant, and we started sliding, and these two other cars were sliding towards us, and none of us could do anything about it, except that all of a sudden these other two cars just changed directions. How do you change direction on ice when you're sliding? And we were given safe passage all the way through the whole parking lot and didn't stop until we hit the grass on the other side. God did that. But it doesn't have to be something big like the crossing of the Red Sea on dry ground. The power of God can be manifested in our lives in many small ways. Sometimes the strength just to get through the day is more than we thought we had. There have been numerous times in my life when I've had to say to God, facing a difficult situation, I knew I couldn't handle it, and I'd say to God, I can't do this. And it was true, I couldn't do it. But then I would say this, but God, I know that you can, so please do what you do, and I will follow. And you know what? Next thing I know, I'm doing what I knew I couldn't do, because it wasn't me doing it. It was God doing it. God did that. Notice in verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." The word "filleth" is the same word used in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, where it says we're to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Same word here. And over there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, we understand that the word "fill" in that case is not talking about a quantity of filling, but the effect the Holy Spirit has on a person's life. And so it is, Jesus, as the head of the church, with the power of his resurrection, intends to have a powerful effect upon our lives. What is that effect? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Remember, your body is an earthen vessel. What did God make Adam out of? The dust of the earth. This is an earthen vessel. It's talking about our physical bodies. "We have this treasure in our physical bodies, that the excellency of the power," that's what we're talking about over in Ephesians chapter 1, right? The excellency of his power. "The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." In our physical bodies, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And here is the effect, verses 8 and 9. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Troubled. Troubled. The word means to be compressed, to be squeezed into a very narrow place, to have pressure coming upon us from all sides where it seems impossible to escape. A woman in Houston, Texas, was ordered by local police to stop handing out tracts to children when the children knock on her door during Halloween for trick or treat. Officers informed her that such activity is illegal, of course it's not, and that she would be arrested if she continued. While at the same time in Madison, Wisconsin, the freedom from religion was distributing anti-Christian pamphlets in public school to children, entitled "We Can Be Good Without God." Something's wrong with that. Aaron and Melissa Klein, the owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, were ordered to pay $135,000 in damages because they refused a certain couple to bake a cake for them. They found other ways to survive by the grace of God. They were troubled, but not distressed. None of these felt the pressure nor felt cramped. Nothing frustrated them because of the power of God in their lives. These were Christian folks. We go back in history to a more remarkable example. A man by the name of John Huss. Ever hear of him? During the Reformation, he was one of the brave leaders of the Reformation hundreds of years ago. He was greatly influenced by the writings of John Wycliffe. John Huss stressed the role of the Bible as authority in the church, and consequently, He lifted biblical preaching to an important status in church services. Hus, the word hus in the Czech language means goose. And so the Catholic Church authorities who opposed John Hus's teachings declared, "We will cook his goose." That's where the phrase came from. Isn't that interesting? In fact, he was condemned to be burned at the stake on July 6, 1415. On the way to the place of execution, he passed a churchyard and saw a bonfire of his books. He laughed and told the bystanders not to believe the lies circulated about him. Arriving at the place of execution, he was asked by the empire's marshal if he would finally retract his views, and Hus replied, "God is my witness that the evidence against me is false. I have never thought nor preached except with one intention of winning men, if possible, from their sins. Today I will gladly die." The fire was lit. As the flames engulfed him, Hus began to sing in Latin a Christian song, "Christ, thou Son of the living God, have mercy on me." How do you sing when you're being burned at the stake? John Hus could tell us, God did that. Oh, we might be perplexed to be without the resources we need, to be unsure of what to do next, but never in despair without hope. We might be persecuted, chased, and pursued, but never forsaken because we're never alone on the journey. We might be cast down, but never destroyed. The Apostle Paul, after he was cast into prison, continued to witness and won many people to the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, it says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they are of Caesar's household." He led people in Caesar's household to the Lord. He's a prisoner. He's about to be executed, and he's still leading people to the Lord. How do you do that? You don't. God did that. God is telling us that we can be under a great deal of pressure. We can be without what we need, unsure of what to do next. We can be chased. We can be cast down, even into prison, but we can still have a positive attitude. We can still have hope because we're not alone. He's with us. We can still function for Him no matter what our circumstances may be, because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the same power He used to create, to part the sea, to knock down the walls of Jericho, to calm the tempest, to walk on water, to raise Jesus from the dead, is the kind of power that is available to us each and every day. Though we be troubled on every side, we'll never be distressed, perplexed, never in despair, persecuted, never forsaken, cast down, never destroyed. So that Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, do you know it? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, will you say it with me? "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Do you hear what you just said? I what? I can. Not I can't. There is no "I can't" in the Christian vocabulary. The only reason we don't is because we won't. Philippians 4:13 clearly says, "I can." I can't won't play with God. Because His response will be, "I gave you the power. My power is in you. And whatever I can do, I can make it possible for you to do whatever is needed to be done. So the next time you feel compelled to say to God, I can't, and you may very well feel like that, be sure to follow it up with this. But I know you can. And so, God, you do what you do, and I will follow. And in the end, you'll be able to say, God did that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for doing these things in our lives. There are lots of situations that truly we feel like we can't do or can't handle, but you said we can, because Christ strengthens us. And we have this treasure in our physical bodies, that the power may be of you and not of us. So, Lord, whenever we feel like we can't, prevent us from saying, I won't. Give us the strength to say, I can do all things through Christ, with strength in us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.